Okay, Jed, this is episode 40, which means it's our Ruby anniversary. What'd you get me?
A pile of rubies.
I'm just glad we didn't make that designation when it was the 29th because the gift is furniture.
Wait, what?
The 29th anniversary gift is furniture.
Wow. Real creative guys. Real creative guys trying to hawk your fake celebration. I'd rather get paper. You know what? Actually, you know what? Never mind. I would actually rather have furniture. Furniture, comfortable. 29 years? I need something to lay down on while my wife's talking in my ear.
Still, 40 is a pretty big milestone for us.
What's the old expression? I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah. That's the beginning of the end, isn't it?
That college coach?
Oh, yeah. Yes. What's his name from Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, I believe.
Love that guy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm a podcast. I'm 40.
40 episodes in. Foul territory. Yeah. I'm John
No,
Semple.
Wait a minute, John. I have to ask now. This is the question that everyone's asking. Are you kneeling or are you standing?
I am interlocked, arms interlocked, with a hand on the shoulder of a kneeler and half crouched down.
Wait a minute. All of a sudden, this sounds very sexual. You have your hands on the shoulder of a kneeler?
Both hands.
Look, I'm not going to judge. I know things are different in Seattle than they are in other parts of the country. That's fine. You're free to do whatever you want with whomever you want. Whoever is kneeling, whoever is shouldering, great.
Yeah, I just think the whole thing being politicized is the issue more than anything. And I believe people can do whatever they want, support the free speech, First Amendment stuff. And
do you want to do that now? I was thinking of doing that later because of the Bruce Maxwell thing. But sure, why don't we talk about it now?
We'll get into it. I just was, since you opened with, asking if I would kneel or stand. But right now I'm sitting, so.
Right. Now, this is what we all should be doing. This is America. Everybody, no one should be standing. That's basically
sit
exercise.
Down. Relax. Sit down, everybody. Relax. Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Hey, so are you pro-kneeling or pro-the flag?
I would
say the United States of America and all the people who died to defend it. Which side are you on, John?
I'm on the side of the people who died to defend it and the people who've been in the army saying that they fought for the right for people to have, First Amendment rights. So,
well, they fought for the right for people not to be persecuted for it.
But there's people who have come out specifically and said the reason why I did what I did. There was one really good post where there's someone who has a son in the military. He was in the military, his father and grandfather, all in the military, and said, we fought for the right for the people to do what they're doing, and that's completely okay.
Well, and here's the thing, though, right? Like, this is my contention on the whole thing, is they actually didn't fight for that right. They fought for the right for the government not to persecute the person for doing it. Right? Now, look, we don't need to listen to some dumb military people. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my God. I would never be able to do anything like that, and I have the utmost respect.
You better
respect.
Watch out both grenades, of my parents grenades are veterans. In your window.
No, both of my parents are veterans. I have a great deal of respect. But the point I'm trying to make is if you do a nonviolent protest, I'm all for that. But it's the context of it that – It's a little bit like, and this is probably not the right transition, so I apologize if it comes across too blunt. It's like the R word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Actually, I'm gonna stop myself right there, John, because
don't know.
First of all, we've covered the R word. You know what it's like? It's like calling a Native American person an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like calling a Native American person a redskin. Right? Now, let us not break our irony machines, our internal irony machines, by the Washington Redskins display of unity for racial injustices in this country. Let us not be just crippled with the irony of that.
Can you say cripple?
You can't say crippled because you can't say, hey, that guy's a cripple or right. Like that. That's right. Offensive. But I mean, I guess this is not as offensive as some other words, but anyway, it's a question of 70% of this country thinks it's offensive to not stand for the national anthem.
I don't think
so. You're offending people.
That high of a number,
70%? It's literally that high. I mean, we're not talking, look, it's lower amongst African Americans, absolutely. But again, it's higher amongst whites. But it is 70%, and that includes Democrats. Mm-hmm. This isn't just like Republican, Democrat. Here's the thing. The national anthem is not the right time to do a protest like this, because you're not protesting the national anthem. Well, why are they doing it? Well, because that's when it's going to get attention. Well, why is it getting attention? Because you're being rude during the national anthem. You're telling me, John, you're telling me that a superstar, or in Colin Kaepernick's case, a sort of star, who makes $10 million a year, has no other outlet to protest? There's no television show he can go on? There's no publicity tour he can go on? That this star with a Twitter feed and a Facebook page, he can't go out and speak on behalf of racial injustices in this country?
Well, my response to that would be is the butterfly wing or the butterfly effect. He just, did what he did, and look where it's come in a year.
But has it done anything? Like, is anyone talking? Look, man, I saw a picture yesterday of the X-Files actors kneeling. This is not like the...
Well, you can thank Trump for that, though.
But yeah, but what I'm saying, like, this is where it goes, right? Like,
not because of what Kaepernick did.
Well, there have been some racial injustices amongst the police. Like, no one's talking about that at all.
I don't know about that.
Okay. I don't know what Twitter and Facebook you're on, but people are just like, well, should you kneel? And should you this? And should you that? And it's just like, hey, look, let's have a conversation. This becomes divisive. Did Trump help? No, Trump hurt. Trump made it more divisive. And frankly, the crazy thing is, it's a sort of brilliant move by him. The guy's been campaigning for election number 2 since, what, February?
Right.
And this is exactly what his fan base wants. They want America, make America great again. So you basically have him, and again, this is... not everyone thinks this binary, but you're basically having, it's Trump versus people who hate the national anthem. That's how simplistically people think. And it's ridiculous, because frankly, he's a terrible president. But in this way, he did this terrible, ridiculous speech on Saturday. That here's the result. You either say, okay, none of us are going to kneel. And then they're like, well, then Trump's like, look what I did. I got everyone to stop kneeling. Or more people are going to kneel, which of course is what was going to happen.
But I don't think he anticipated that at all.
I think he absolutely did, because look at how
he's
much...
He's not that smart. You're giving him way too much credit.
He is that smart, John, because his approval ratings went up.
His approval ratings went up as a result of the how he handled at least the first hurricane, not the most recent one. They'll go down again based on what's going on in Puerto Rico.
But he hasn't done anything wrong in Puerto Rico other than having media reporting that he hasn't done anything, which he absolutely has. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, he's playing the game. I'm not saying he's like the smart, super genius 3D chess guy. I'm just saying, like, this is, you have Patriots fans booing their own team. Who do you think that helps? Donald Trump or the next Democrat presidential nominee?
I don't see 70% of NFL fans disagreeing with what's going on.
Hold on a second. I think it's higher than 70% of NFL fans, because
I don't think so.
Because NFL fans tend to be Republican.
So where were all of those fans prior to 2009, when the players, it was an option whether they won were out of the locker room, and two, whether or not they stood or sat or continued to warm up before the game? Because that's the way it was up until 2009.
Right, but you see, it became a thing. Well, and then it became...
But you can't pick and choose when you're irate over something. If you're irate now, you should have been irate
then. Oh,
John,
this is America, dude. You can do that all you want.
But that's politicizing.
Left or right, doesn't matter. You can be irate about something completely hypocritically. Absolutely. This is America, dude.
My point is that you can do that, but you have it's a hypocritical to do it when you sit there and say that I'm going to choose when I'm going to pull out the guns versus not.
I completely agree with that. It's completely hypocritical. But what I'm saying is it's happening this way.
Oh, I agree that it's happening.
Like,
and
Patriots
I agree.
Fans booed the Patriots.
Yeah, I really didn't pay much attention to the pregame stuff.
So crazy.
But I know that that's what was covered after the fact. It seemed like every news channel, not even sports networks, were covering the players on the sidelines as opposed to, you know, what was going on in the games. And to me, there's bigger things. There's bigger issues in the world going on right now than I think it's kind of put it on the media a little bit that they're making a bigger deal out of this than it really needs to be.
Absolutely. But then you see, like, the X-Files actors jumping on, and like everyone's like, it's like the ice bucket challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Who will kneel next? Who will show? And do they even know what they're kneeling for, John? Like, are they kneeling for unity and solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, or with the right to be able to kneel? Or, but again, like, there's no governmental right. There's no one's arguing they don't have the governmental right. The question is whether they have the private business right to kneel. Right. Mm. Can a team fire a player for kneeling? Absolutely.
An owner can have rules, and if you don't follow the rules, it's ground. It might not be a good PR move to do that. And it's also, who's got those convictions so much? Jerry Jones, supposedly the conservative that he is, and he didn't want the bad PR. So he's there locked arms with his players on the field. He didn't need to be on the field. But he was.
Right, but they kneeled before the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
See, everyone's trying to get around it. The Steelers sent out a message apologizing to their fans, trying to explain their situation. I'm telling you, this is like something that's messing people up in this country. And it's taking away from the issue of the police brutality thing, which is an issue that should be addressed.
Agreed.
Yeah. Wait, baseball?
Baseball? Did anything happen?
Look, I don't want to make it sound like I'm a fan of any of this. I think this is all craziness meant to distract people. Like, the healthcare stuff that's going on in this country, which I admittedly do not understand. And the stuff that's happening with Puerto Rico and, to a lesser degree, Florida and Houston, like, where Americans are suffering. And I guess Puerto Ricans aren't Americans per se, but they are citizens of the United States, right? I think that's the, but they're not
eventually
speaking.
Eventually they will become the 51st Americans. State sometime down the road. Well, probably not now. It's like, we don't want to, pull in the bad neighborhood. Not that it's bad,
John,
bad conditionally, not bad.
John,
people.
That's supposed to be my joke.
Sorry.
I'm the one that's supposed to make harsh jokes like that.
So then I immediately went into the apology.
Yes.
Not the last.
Yeah, no, it's really great. You see we're so far off the hook. You know what? No one cares about baseball anymore anyway. So.
Yeah, it's almost over. Who cares? We know who's in the playoffs.
Very cool to see some of these rich people like Pitbull and Mark Cuban using their own private jets to fly stuff in. Mm. Very cool.
Yeah. That's very good. Cool. Well, hopefully that's where the attention will now start to shift when people, start realizing how bad it is there, and the fact that, it's like, oh, they have no electricity, limited cell signal. The bigger issue is disease. You can't keep medical supplies refrigerated, certain things that need to be. There's just a ton of potential disasters waiting to happen there beyond the Mother Nature. It's the sickness and the illness and the it's a sad situation. I think if more people saw in person what was going on there, there would be a different perspective.
But then they also might get sick. So
right, so they're not going. I'm not going there. I'll watch from afar with binoculars.
You know what, John? Thing is, you have the right to not go.
Right.
And that's what people in the military fought for.
You mean they didn't fight for me to kneel or not kneel?
Look, I'm all for people kneeling. If you want to protest, absolutely.
It's
but
better than...
Don't get upset if you lose your sponsors.
Right.
Because the sponsors
happen.
Feel like that's offensive.
Too much money to be made in the NFL.
If the Westboro Baptist Church wants to protest outside of a gay wedding, that's totally inappropriate. It's not the same as this, but it's like, it's totally inappropriate, but unfortunately they do have the right to do it in the United States. Mm-hmm. Though, is the Westboro Baptist Church still a thing?
I think it is.
Is it? Yeah. They're not in the news all the time like they used
not
to be.
Not as much. No. Yeah. There's, but now maybe they will be after they listen to this podcast.
Yeah, what a mess that was. Jesus.
So it says here that you have a bit.
Oh my gosh, right? Okay, so last week I spent the first 10 minutes. Now this we spent the first 14 minutes. This is great. But I spent the first 10 minutes explaining how I had messed up Robert Davi's name and called him Robert Scotchy, right? To my embarrassment. And then I went on to explain how I make mistakes, John. Hell, I could be wrong about all this kneeling stuff or standing stuff. I could be wrong about all of it. I think the information presented is somewhat factual, though my opinions could be somewhat half-assed. And then I gave an example of how I had left off the Braves' best hitting prospect when we were talking about how the Braves have no, you know, have these great pitching prospects, but their hitting is, they don't really have any great pitching prospects. And then and again, irony here, or just coincidence, this might be more like rain on your wedding day than actual irony. I referred to Ronald Acuna as Robert Acuna, continuing my string of Robert Scotchy, Robert Davi, Robert Acuna. It's Ronald Acuna. So my apologies again.
Did we get any mail on that?
Just from myself.
Oh, I was wondering if maybe a fan reached out and said, "Jed, you did it again."
No, it was I wrote myself a letter, and it was very sternly worded.
So are you on probation?
I have the right, John. People fought for me to have the right to make mistakes
and have an opinion, which is what makes America great.
Even if it's a stupid opinion like mine.
Okay, let's move on to headlines.
Okay, let's do it.
So we've got.
Oh, by the way, John, feel free to edit any of that out.
It's all good. It's all good.
Just cut. Just be like, hey, welcome to Foul Territory. Hey, Ronald Acuna, huh, you guys?
Well, I'm sure we'll get back into some of this anyway. So let's see. We've got a whole bunch of stuff here that we could talk about this week. It's getting down to the end of the season. We've got the wild card race is basically one position, one spot left.
Yeah, it's down to just one. Even though there's a few days left, it's kind of not quite as dramatic as years past.
What was that, 4 or 5 years ago? 5 years ago? Was it 2011? Maybe even 6 years ago.
I think it was just like two, where it was like there were five teams.
But you remember the last day of the season when the Tampa Bay hit the Longoria? There was like three, it was the last day of the season.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah,
crazy.
I remember that.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that was
so
amazing.
Awesome. So, but
it's not this year.
Really what we're down to is the Brewers, Cardinals battling each other to get hopefully the Rockies unseated.
Yeah,
well,
the Brewers
nothing
are a
they
game and
do.
A half, so that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Cardinals two and a half? Cardinals have to win
Cardinals
out, basically.
Cardinals 2.5, so the Brewers basically have to win out or go 4-1 and hope the Rockies lose, 2 or 3?
Yeah, and the Rockies
possible.
Face
Rockies
the Dodgers.
Are playing the Dodgers this weekend, so... But it's a Dodger team that looks like they've locked up home field throughout the playoffs, despite my prediction that the Indians... Maybe it was a reverse jinx, though. Maybe I was saying I thought the Indians would take the best record because I was doing a reverse jinx. You know what? That's exactly what I was doing, John.
The reverse jinx?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing, now that I think about it.
So do the Dodgers sit a lot of starters going into the last series of the season?
That's exactly what I think. You got to figure their son. I mean, they'll probably play a bunch of guys because you kind of have to. That's the sort of the baseball rules. But, you know.
But one of the things, the Dodgers, they still have to settle on their 25-man postseason or first-round roster.
Yeah.
So there's going to be guys not on it. Gonzalez might not be on it. Ethier might not be on it. Those two are kind of like battling it out for one of those spots, the bench spots.
Right.
So it'll be
interesting. I think they're going to be, they're not going to just roll over, but it does seem a little bit like a rollover weekend for the Dodgers. Like, yeah, we'll go to Colorado, we'll relax, take in some of the John Denver classics.
Maybe a little weed.
Maybe a little weed, a little legal. Wait, no, the players can't smoke it even if it's legal, right?
Part of their...
Baseball players aren't tested for weed, are they?
I don't know. Weed's okay? Right, well, weed is good.
It just proves that we do a lot of research here.
Yeah, this is an opinion-based show, not fact-based. Occasionally fact-based, mostly opinions, based on fact. Okay, let's see what else. Speaking of wild card, we had the Angels, who were in the thick of it until they weren't. Yeah,
that was a bummer. I'm not an Angels fan or anything, but the six-game losing streak. Ugh, they got screwed by the schedule maker. They had to play the Astros like six or seven times, and then the Indians.
Yeah, same thing.
That stinks.
Seattle, same thing. Seattle had 2 6-game losing streaks in the last 6 weeks. And yeah. you cannot fight for a playoff spot when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked a couple weeks ago that this might be how the wild card is decided, mm-hmm. that it's just who doesn't, you know, flail at the end. And everyone's flailing except for the Twins, who are actually kind of playing
got better,
well.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're going to get smoked by the Yankees. Yeah. Please. And if that's their thing,
but it's the one game playoff, though. That's one of the things about it, though, is you're playing in. You gotta. Well, I mean, what is the Yankees are 3 games back or 4 games back of Boston?
Three.
So that's still up for grabs potentially, and there could be a one game playoff there if they wind up tied.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
Ooh, jinx!
I'm not too worried about that. I mean, they were 5 games back. I'm just saying, like, baseball is regression, right? Like, like a team that goes on a hot streak, and then they're going to lose games.
Right.
That's just always how it goes. So the Yankees have won a couple. The Red Sox have lost a couple. So then all the Red Sox have to do is win 3 or have the Yankees lose 3.
Right.
Or any combination thereof.
Right. That equals 3. 3 being the magic number. The magic number is 3.
That's right.
Okay, so we've got, let's see, what else we got? We talked about the knee, but we had our first baseball player take a knee, and it wasn't Jon Snow.
Well, that's the funny thing about this whole thing too, John, right? Like taking a knee for someone is a sign of subservience.
There you go.
Like, I hate to break it to you guys. I understand this is very important to you people, but you're actually saying, like, You're the boss of us.
Right. It's like when Tebow used to do it. He was taking a knee for God.
He was taking a knee for God. He was subservient to the Lord.
So baseball player or athletes are being subservient to Lord Trump.
I mean, it's a little bit like that, isn't it? Like,
that he is kind of strange. But that's the way Trump
started doing it last year before Trump was.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but now it's all the rage, just like Tebowing.
So. Yeah, just like Tebowing, exactly. Planking, Tebowing, ice bucket challenge, kneeling for racial equality.
Right. Well, everyone will get so consumed with kneeling that they'll completely forget why they're kneeling.
That's what I'm saying. That's my whole point about this, John, is everyone has already forgotten why they're kneeling.
Yeah, it's more
not everyone. There are still some people that are whatever. But I'm just saying, like, when you have Fox Mulder and, you know, and... Scully kneeling for what are they kneeling for? They're white.
Stevie Wonder knelt at the concert on Saturday night. Yeah, got down on 2 knees.
Don't get me started with that fake blind guy. You've seen the video, I assume.
No, I haven't.
Okay, Google listeners and John, right now.
Is this
Google
another
search,
conspiracy theory?
Is Stevie Wonder blind video?
Oh.
And you watch him catch a falling mic stand.
Ooh.
On a stage, you watch him catch it with his hand, being a blind guy. You watch him catch it. You tell me this is a blind guy. Okay, first of all, it's a totally real thing, right? And it's such a mind, I don't want to, mind F, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be that he heard it. It could be.
But it's gone viral.
When you watch a video of a blind man catching a falling mic stand, it's hard to think, wow, that guy's totally blind. And maybe, just maybe, John, he's just staying on brand and he had his eyesight cured years ago. Maybe.
It's working, right?
I don't know. Look.
Well,
I don't want to come across like that guy. I feel like all of a sudden I've turned into Alex Jones in this episode.
It kind
of
is, because the headlines are here.
And another thing!
So I just,
look behind the headlines, John!
I just Googled it and we've got The Mirror, TMZ, Jezebel, and Deadspin all are the top searches. So we're going to the best of the best that are spinning this theory. So the headlines are, Stevie Wonder is not blind, the truther's exactly case. Right. So is Stevie Wonder blind or what? Is Stevie Wonder really blind? Is Stevie Wonder blind?
Think about this in your life, John. Is there anything that you ever thought that you would think you would doubt less than whether or not Stevie Wonder was blind? Why would someone pretend to be blind?
Right.
Unless it's part of his brand. I mean, think about it.
Watching this.
What would it do for his sales if suddenly it was like,
I'm going to perpetuate this. This is worth investigating.
I'm just saying, this is America. You can do a lot of things. People died for the right to pretend to be blind.
What I'm most intrigued, though, about that is that somebody saw that when it was on TV or whatever it was. It was at the closing credits. He reaches down and grabs a falling mic stand.
Yeah.
And Herbie Hancock jumps in to make it look like he's helping. He's in on it. Herbie Hancock is in on the Stevie Wonder.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
And that's Kevin Costner's voice right there that you heard. Oh, that's pretty good. So that was a complete aside and rabbit hole. That was good, though. But I'd never heard of it. I just saw the 10-second video.
Yeah.
And head scratch.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher.
Yeah, interesting. So we'll see what comes of that. And, you know, maybe that'll...
It's like the song goes, John. I just called to say I'm not actually blind.
Okay, so we did talk about Bruce Maxwell. That's why we kind of got off.
Right, so he's the baseball player who knelt.
Yes.
And then I believe it was Mark Canha who put his hand on his shoulder. It's a little sign of solidarity and whatever. And I thought Maxwell, you know, kept looking at the flag and kept put his hands over his heart like you're kind of supposed to. And
yeah, and he did. The way he did it is that I'm in support of this. Kind of took it upon himself to say, how could I not, given the, you know, what had just happened, you know,
exactly. I mean, after what Trump did, it was like, how can you?
Oh, it's the bigger thing with Trump was the sons of bitches line. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like the whole, it's all so unpresidential. I mean, we keep saying that about him, but it's like, and I look, if any of his fans are listening, like, you know, he's unpresidential. It's what you like about him. So let's move on from that.
Well, the best tweet that I saw, as a result of all this was, Colin Kaepernick's mother's tweet. She says, well, I guess that makes me a bitch.
Yeah, but isn't she the adopted mother? So maybe.
Know. Oh, I don't know.
Maybe Donald Trump is talking about his actual biological mother. Oh, something I didn't to
know.
Think about.
I didn't, well, you know more about Colin Kaepernick than I do. I did not know that he
you
was
know
adopted.
What? I am not stalking him. That restraining order was totally unfounded.
Just have to keep, what, 30 yards away constantly, nonstop?
It's 100 yards.
So other big news, big news, is Aaron Judge, rookie, Yankees. Not only hit his 50th home run, but set the rookie record for home runs in a season.
That's right. He hit the 49th and the 50th in the same game. He's still got four or five games left. Sets the new rookie record for home runs. Awesome.
Yeah.
And not a Yankees fan over here, as you know, John, but it's just awesome.
30-year-old record, too. Mark McGwire, I think, was 87, had 49 home runs. The thin.
That's a trip, though. That's, to me, a bigger accomplishment. The thin Mark McGwire.
Yeah. He looks like a normal person in his rookie year.
Yeah.
Google it.
Before he found Andro.
Yeah. Before he bulked up.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely incredible. And I'm blown away by both. I'm blown away that Mark McGwire would have hit 49. This is before steroids, though one could argue he might not have been before steroids. That's a lot of home runs back then.
Yeah.
It's a lot of home runs now, but it's a little bit less a lot of home runs in the year where the home run record was broken.
And back in the day, McGwire was considered a big guy, even, you know, in his rookie year, because he was tall.
Right.
He wasn't necessarily bulky. But, you know, you look at Stanton and Judge, they're big dudes.
Yeah.
They're football player bodies.
They're like,
hitting.
They're like
mashing.
Houses.
And, you know, speaking of the home runs, I know a month ago, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, whether or not Stanton would hit 70. You know, we were talking maybe he'd be in mid-60s, but he completely cooled off.
Right, because it's baseball.
Baseball, right. And, you know, part of that, though, is if he was going to do it, he should have been able to do it by playing in Arizona and Colorado, two home run friendly parks that he's had great success at. Didn't do much. I think he had one home run in those two series so far, Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, Judge has a very friendly home ballpark. Yes. I would say much friendlier than Marlins Park.
Yes.
And he has opposite field power, so he's going to get those cheapies over the right field. Anyway, I just think it's great for baseball to have someone break that record. I think I wouldn't be surprised if 3 years from now, it will. I know it will not go 30 years again, just the way the home runs are going. Mm-hmm. Unless they readjust the ball or make some other thing.
Well, and they're also bringing players.
He may be the MVP now, don't you think?
Like, I think so. I think he's rookie MVP.
To break that record, Altuve has gone a little cold.
And he just got hurt last night, too.
And he just got hurt, too, right? So it's a little bit like, he's not going to be in there the last few days where it would really matter.
Yeah, so if Judge.
He could be Rookie of the Year, MVP, and in the playoffs.
And in the playoffs.
The Yankees back in the playoffs.
And if the Yankees make a deep run.
I was so sure that Altuve was going to get the MVP, and then he just flatlined right after we were talking about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the voting goes. They're going to be close in both leagues.
Like Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Chris Sale just, maybe he's saving it for the playoffs, but yikes. Earlier in the week, he gave the Cy Young to Corey Kluber. He got shelled by the out of the playoffs Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Kluber's had two really good starts. He's been dominant for the last.
He's been
month. Just
incredible the last. Yeah. It's. I mean, Sale probably has had a better year.
Yeah. Well, his first 2 months dominated everybody.
Yeah. Because he was breaking all the records, all the consecutive games of strikeouts, consecutive games of 10 strikeouts. Anyway, what else we got, John?
Miguel Cabrera, the aging one, two herniated discs in his back.
Here's the thing.
Apparently he's been playing with
him
for a while.
Are we sure the two herniated discs aren't just a sandwich?
And how could they tell? It's not because if they were feeling around, they probably didn't feel anything. Must have been an MRI.
Hamburgers look a lot like discs.
And they're probably double patties.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but he's played through injuries throughout his career. He's one of those stand up guys that is like aches and pains are part of the game. He's not one to go on the DL or take a day off unless he really needs it, which is old school. But he's getting older. He's getting heavier.
Well, this is a good news, bad news, right? Because like good news is okay, so that's why he's been so bad this year is he was injured. The bad news is. Back stuff
not good
isn't like a sprained ankle
right
or like a broken
you need
bone
to torque your back in order to hit a baseball.
And my experience with people, not myself because I haven't really had any back problems despite my weight, is back problems tend to linger. That's we've seen that in sports. It's that's an area that gets regardless of whether you're doing orthopedic or chiropractic, or both. I know a lot of teams do sort of both approaches. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Like it's a back.
No, you look at like David Wright. David Wright had to go through a 3-hour pregame routine when he was healthy just to get onto the field. Tiger Woods, what he's going through just to get, hit a golf ball.
So, banging hookers?
Maybe that's how he hurt his back.
Sorry.
An off-the-course back injury.
The other thing he's going through.
Yes, the other thing. Let's see. Moving on, we've got Red Sox looking pretty good in the extra inning games this season.
Yeah, 15-3, which is really awesome. Like, that's – first of all, that's really so cool. Second of all, this does not bode well for this team.
In the playoffs,
First of all, the last time we saw a team like this great at extra inning games was the Orioles a couple years back, and they got smoked because it's usually unsustainable. Because generally when you get to extra innings, it's no matter how good or bad the team is, it's usually just a 50-50 thing. Mm-hmm. So really they should be about, 10-8?
Yeah.
And that would make them second place in their division, and they'd still be in the playoffs, but... The other problem is so many of these 18 games have been like 15 inning. So like their bullpen's been great. I think the ERA for the team is like in extra innings is like 1.4. The problem is if the bullpen's pitching so well, then why are games going 15, 16, 18 innings? Right. Well, it's because the offense keeps shutting down. And I think this team is very susceptible to being shut down. I wouldn't be surprised at all if I don't even think they would need to go up against the Indians to get shut out and swept. This is a team that could very easily get swept.
Yeah, because you look at their offensive statistics, you know, their best, you know, their team leaders are, what's his name? Leading. I know that you'll say that batting average is .278 is the highest batting average on the team.
Yeah.
Which is not.
It's thin.
You know, they're a good team.
Yeah.
But they're a team that is susceptible.
They're a very good team.
They're a team that is susceptible to winning, you know, 8 games in a row and also losing, you know, in big bunches.
Yeah.
So it's like when the offense is sleeping, they're not good. When the offense is awake, they're really good.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, this would be, you know, this team has done well to get to the playoffs. They'll probably win the division for the first time in, what is it, 50 years? So consecutive years winning the division, something like that. It'd be a nice accomplishment. And they just need to build on it the next year or so. You know, they're just, I don't think this team is there. Though, of course, you know, you never know. Once you're in the playoffs, you're in the playoffs.
Yep, yep.
The Giants, the Royals have proven us, you know, proven this out.
Right. Who knows? The Twins could be the team this year.
It's not against the Yankees.
Yeah, I would agree.
If there's one team that owns another team in Major League Baseball, it's the Yankees owning the Twins. I've never seen anything like it. Like,
well, I think you just jinxed them.
Oh, possibly. Yes, let's do that. Yes, the Yankees are definitely going to win. I'm going to bet money on it, John. Hey, who amongst us hasn't bet money on a game in order to jinx it? That's a good use of this is America. You do whatever you want. Yeah. People died fighting for my right to put $20 on a game
to jinx the opposite team.
Yes.
There you go. one of the other big sobering news items from baseball world was Todd Frazier, I think it was last week, hit a foul ball in a screamer and hit a little girl. I think she was 5 years old.
Oh yeah, it was awful.
In the face with a ball, and the picture that obviously the girl getting hit is bad, but just the look on Frazier's face, you know, after he knew what had happened was just devastating. So now we're going to see teams starting to extend the protective nets.
Sorry to cut out. Do we know if the girl's okay? She's okay, right?
She's okay, but apparently there's a long road to recovery, I think, with some of the injuries.
Yeah.
But I think she's okay.
Yeah.
And I remember...
Like the Josh Hamilton thing from a couple years back. You remember when that dad reached over for the ball he tossed him? Anyway.
But this happened in hockey 15 years ago where a puck went up and they all of a sudden had nets up above the goals behind each goal. And it's just, you know, I get it, but part of it for me is that you know, when you go to a game, people have been going to games for decades, you know, to different sporting activities without cause. But the second we have one mistake, and this is in our insurance laden and, you know, sue happy world, is that something like
thanks
that.
Thanks a lot, Obamacare.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. That's...
But this just remind me of, this is a tangent. Remember how we talked to, I think the last 2 weeks about, you know, going to ball games and it's a relaxing atmosphere and kind of shooting the breeze type of thing.
Yes. I remember
that. I went to the Mariners game on Saturday and happened to sit in a section, that was, we were close to the field, 11 rows back from the field. And right next to me to my left is a group of half a dozen guys that came down from Vancouver, Canada for the weekend, and they were taken in a ball game. The guy sitting directly next to me had never been to a baseball game, didn't really know, but they seemed like nice guys, but they befriended somebody that was sitting in the row in front of them, and they talked the entire game about nothing that had to do with baseball.
Right.
Other than the guy going like, what inning?
So basically like this podcast.
Maybe
they were just doing foul territory, the Canadian version.
But it was like, at one point, I'm just kind of like, really, guys, just watch the game. Just maybe a little bit of the game.
There is a little bit of the game you need to watch right, when you're at a right. baseball game. Otherwise,
and one of the guys was like, how do we know what inning it is? And I was like, oh, gosh. These guys are in their, you know, mid-late 20s.
Yeah. It's, millennials.
Millennials.
Millennial dumb. Canadians, eh?
So that's one little aside there. One of the news stories this week that was kind of weird, not weird in the fact that someone's being let go, but Derek Jeter, who's going to be one of the owners and head of baseball operations for the Marlins, decides that he wants to eliminate some of the staff and tells David Sampson, who he's already told in days prior that he was gone, wouldn't right. be coming back, that, oh, by the way, there's four people that I want you to get rid of. So it's not Jeter pulling the trigger. He's asking right. the deposed Sampson to pull the trigger on four. I mean, they're not huge names in the baseball world to the modern, to the younger generations. But yeah, Jeff Conine, Andre Dawson, Tony Perez, and Jack McCann all ceremoniously or unceremoniously let go via a phone call from Jeter to Sampson, Sampson to each one of the individuals.
Yeah.
Seems kind of, I get the new regime, and I some people were making a big issue out of it. I'm like, these are grown men.
Yeah.
Who've been around the game forever.
The new broom sweeps clean, right?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
And like, is what's the right way to do it or the wrong? I saw that some people were getting all kerfluffle about it. Like, two of these players are Hall of Famers. Like, yeah, but they're not kind of borderline Hall right. of Famers, to be honest. I mean, Tony Perez, really?
Yeah.
That's a Hall of Famer? I'm a Hall of Famer if he's a Hall of Famer. Anyway, maybe I'm not, John, but you get my point.
You're in the Comedy Hall of Fame, in my book.
Am I? Thank you.
In my book.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, that's so my opinion.
I don't know, like, that team is a mess, you know?
Oh, it's
and,
a
like,
disaster.
It doesn't surprise me that they just had, like, four people hanging around being consultants. Like, what good are they doing? Yeah, you're going to fire them. Is that the way to fire them? I don't know. I don't know. Who would you rather hear it from? Would you rather have Derek Jeter call you up and be like, hey, I'm Derek Jeter. You're fired.
I think the reason why it became a little bit of a story is that Jeter said he didn't want to be the one who called them.
Right, but again, this is like, does he not want to? Or does he not want to do that to them? Of like, hi, I'm a person you barely know and you're fired.
But to me, that would be the easier thing to do. It's like, hey, this is a new, we're wiping the slate clean. Nothing against you guys. Hope you understand your contributions to the sport and to this team are, you know, incredibly well received in this community. And let's know that you have a part in this.
So basically you're saying that Jeter should have lied to them.
No, I think he should have just said, we're wiping the slate clean. My team now. It's all good. But again,
why is Jeter even making this call?
But part of it, though, this isn't even a story.
Accounting guy to do it.
This isn't even a story. I mean, this is what happens. It's, you know, a business.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
from
exactly.
the business point
let's
of view.
Let's talk about Puerto Rico.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Baseball.
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking
thing.
About. I thought it was very interesting, by the way. There were some tributes to Jose Fernandez
mm-hmm.
this weekend. Was it this weekend?
That's
or
hard
this,
to believe that was a year
Monday?
Ago.
Yeah, so Colorado on Monday did some tribute to Jose Fernandez. I guess at the anniversary of his anniversary feels like the wrong word, but the year marking the year of his death. And what's very interesting about Colorado to me is I was once going to write an article about how the Rockies should trade Carlos Gonzalez, which of course they should have. But anyway, you know, there's a very high Mexican population.
Mm-hmm. Very.
I did not know that in Colorado. It's a very high percentage.
Yeah, Aurora. Colorado, big south, southeastern Colorado or southeastern Denver area, high Latin population.
It's a higher percentage than one would just think if we were looking at like, oh, look at how many Hispanics are in Mexico. Sorry, I've been saying Mexicans, but I mean Hispanics, and
Hispanic.
I apologize if that comes across as rude, but it actually is a lot of Mexicans.
Yes.
I don't mean to conflate the two. I do know there's a difference, but it is a lot of Hispanics, but it's
especially after pot was legalized.
John.
I couldn't help myself.
That's mean. You know what? First of all, they just drink booze.
Thanks for deflecting that off of me. Okay, I understand there was a mayor that was recently sentenced to prison for corruption.
Raul Mondesi. Now, first of all, shout out to Raul Mondesi. He was on my first ever fantasy baseball team where I won ESPN's first ever fantasy baseball league and won tickets to see the Dodgers in spring training. He was a cornerstone of that team with home runs and stolen bases. But yeah, apparently now he's a corrupt politician in the Dominican. Good for him.
Good for him. And his son is still playing ball, though, right? With the Rangers?
That's right. His son is still playing with the...
Rangers, I believe, right?
No.
Royals. Yeah.
So here's the funny thing about Raul Mondesi. I think I've told this story, too, where I remember seeing Raul Mondesi at that spring training. And I had seen him being interviewed on TV, whatever. I lived in LA.
I thought you were going to say he was making a poor man's latte.
No. That's I don't even know if poor man's lattes existed back then. But I saw him. So I'd seen him on interviews, and he's very quiet and trying to work his way through interviews and very like, you know, trying to hit the ball, you know, whatever. Trying to speak English. And then when I saw him there, he was like, he was the head dude. He was the head honcho. He was the cock of the walk. He had this little entourage of people, and you could not have more swagger in one human being without the person combusting into flames. So maybe in that persona, in himself, he was being then the corrupt mayor that we are now seeing.
Yeah.
Right? Like gregarious and I don't know. I feel like there's a connection there, though, John. You know what? Never mind. Move on. People died for the right. Actually, no, wait a minute. Not necessarily for his right to be a corrupt politician. Anyway.
So now we've just moved through the headlines and we're 50 minutes in. Thanks to our attention to poignant matters facing citizens of the United States.
Yes.
Such as kneeling or not to kneel.
And more importantly, Puerto Rico.
Starting nine. For October, we have nine players. I'm assuming this is a Oktoberfest connection.
Yes.
Nine players with beer names.
October brings Oktoberfest. I was thinking of doing nine players with kneeling names, but there really just aren't that many.
Probably not. Or protest-sounding names.
Yeah, I guess you could have done like famous protesters, right? Or like... Is there a baseball player whose name is like Kent, right? Because Kent State, there's a baseball player named Kent. This is how my process works. I think, what's a thing? Okay, good. Back. What do I got? All right. So beer names. Let's keep it fun. Let's keep it light. Let's start with Andrew Miller High Life.
There you go.
Next up, Sam Matt Adams.
Okay, good.
Batting third, Bud Norrisweiser.
It's making me thirsty.
Here we go. Bat and cleanup, Big Papsty. He's not in the league anymore, but he's still affiliated with the team. And
right.
Frankly,
he's back in the game.
Yeah. Everyone loves Germany's favorite beer, High Nick Williamskin.
Good, man. These are good. These are the clever ones.
This is probably my favorite, but mainly because I like the player so much, Michael Obe. Conforto.
Michael Obe.
Michael Obe. Coorsy Kluber. Your Cy Young.
Oh, these are the best yet.
Natty Carnes.
Okay.
Right. Good. Everyone loves Natty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Did you have a few cold ones before we started? Before you developed this one?
It's too early. List?
These are good.
All right.
These
last up, we got Coronald Torres.
All of those were clever.
Thank you.
Very good. Nice. I like that.
Thank you. I will say 75% of those I wrote in the first 30 seconds because...
They just flowed.
Because they just flowed.
Like the beer.
Yeah, you know what? Flowing. Exactly. With a wide mouth can with blue mountains on the side to show you it's still cold.
Yes. Technology is amazing. Yeah. Okay. Are you buying it?
Yes. Are you buying it? Let's more baseball talk.
So, yeah, we're going to do a little bit of baseball in this podcast.
Okay.
So now we're going to focus on playoff teams and who we think are the real deal.
Right.
And the pretenders.
Right.
And I'm so, assuming, based on the way that you have these lined up in our little notes here, that that's probably your pecking order.
No.
No?
No, it's very close, though.
Okay. It's what do you got?
Very close. Okay, so first of all, Indians. Yes, I'm buying it. Good offense, or very good offense, but sometimes just good. And great, great pitching from stem to stern,
Yeah, as they say. It's all about the pitching, yeah.
And I honestly just think they're just going to ride that right into the World Series. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone can stop the Kluber, Carrasco.
I agree.
I don't know what's going to happen with after Kluber, Carrasco, but I know they got Clevinger is going to be in the bullpen, and there's Bauer, who I don't think is great, and then there's Tomlin, who I definitely don't think is great, and well, we'll see. Bauer did great last year in the playoffs, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until he cut his hand or
cut his finger on a.
On the drone.
On his drone. Drone finger.
You know what? Just like Paul Walker, Obama ordered the drone strike. Sorry, back to my Alex Jones mode there. Look it up. Other people think that's a real thing. All right, good. So I'm buying the Indians. I mean, if you're looking at like who's the best team in baseball right now, it'd be hard to make an argument against them. Mm-hmm. Red Sox, I am not buying. I am not leasing. But they're in the playoffs, so you got to rent at least.
Right. And you'd be happy to say I was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like a reverse jinx sort of way, sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But just trying to stay objective. And I do try to stay objective with this stuff. I remember it was one of the funny things about writing for Yahoo, where there are constant complaints about my writing. And some people liked it, but constant complaints. And the readers couldn't decide whether because I mainly wrote for the LA area teams. I couldn't figure out whether I hated the Lakers or I was a Laker fan. Like, I would be accused in the same article of either. Or if they
tell it like it is, right?
Angels fan. Like, I do try to be grounded in reality because people died for the right for me to blather on the internet. Can you blather on the internet? To ramble on. Word wise on the internet. But I don't think this Red Sox team is a very good team. I think it's a team that's been fortunate and has had some misfortune as well. I mean, the whole David Price thing is they were supposed to be, you know, Chris Sale right. And David Price. And, you know, Pomerantz has had a nice second half. Porcello's had a nice second half. But
Price is back, the bullpen.
Yeah, bullpen. And I don't know, $30 million a year for a bullpen guy?
Yeah.
Because not Aroldis Chapman. All right, so then Astros, I'm definitely buying the Astros. I like this team very much. They have their division wrapped up, but they're still putting their foot on the throat of their opponents. They crushed the Rangers last night, 9-3 or something like that. Like, I mean, the starting pitching is still a little suspect, but Keuchel behind Verlander... That's pretty strong.
That's pretty strong.
And then you
one too.
Piece together the rest, you know.
Yeah,
that's a strong, strong. And there's no better offense, in my opinion, in the playoffs than that Astros team. So, and then so I'm buying, and then we get down to the Yankees and the Twins, the two wild card teams. I think the Twins are the worst team in the playoffs, regardless of whether the Rockies, Brewers, or Cardinals get in the National League. I think the Twins are the worst team, but good for them, right? Didn't they lose like 100 games last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're in the playoffs. That's awesome. You know, I've always had an affinity for this team. I think the very first podcast we ever did, our test run, which is nowhere to be found anywhere, mercifully, was me doing a segment called, what was it, Flip This Clubhouse.
I think we do have that. I think we have. That was the first episode.
I don't know if we ever aired that. I think we did. I think it was a test
one. It was a test one, maybe. Yeah.
And then it was just like, nah, this segment doesn't really work. It's just me complaining about stuff.
For 15 minutes.
For 15 minutes, and like no one cares. I like the pieces on this Twins team, and I love Byron Buxton, and Miguel Sano is supposed to be back for the playoffs, and Barrios, everyone who knows me knows I have a crush on that guy. I don't know if they have the pitching front or back end of the bullpen. I just don't think it's there, and the hitting's good, but when the Yankees own a team like that, you just got to assume the Yankees are going to continue. And also the Yankees, you got to buy the Yankees. I mean, all they need is for Severino to pitch well, and Tanaka. Who are the other guys there? Sabathia. I'm missing one other guy.
Montgomery.
Montgomery, and then I think there's one other guy I feel like I'm missing. But anyway, you just need them to pitch okay, mm-hmm. and they can make it through a series.
Yeah. So, you know, the way this looks up, it's like the Yankees win the wild card. We have Yankees, Indians, Red Sox, Astros.
Yeah. And the Red Sox, Astros finish the season against each other.
Oh, so it'll be an extended series.
Yeah, so they'll do Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Fenway, and then they'll all fly to Houston to play.
That's interesting.
So you got to figure they're going to, like, I don't know, they're going to try to win to try to prove that they can win, or are they going to, like, are the pitchers going to hold back some of their trickier pitches?
Right.
To give them a false sense of, I don't know, who cares?
It's not like you can diagram stuff up like in Sandlot football.
Yeah, it's not like football, right, where you want to hide plays or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Whatever. No one cares.
Okay, National League.
Okay, good. So I do have the Dodgers at the top of the list, and that's the best team in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
The Nationals, interestingly, they're only a few games behind the Dodgers.
But it doesn't feel like that, does it?
And would be much closer if they hadn't had their bullpen fall apart earlier in the season.
Or if Dusty wasn't the manager.
But also that bullpen was like, that was like historically bad.
For the first 2 months of the season.
For the first two months.
Two and a half months until they got Doolittle.
It was historically bad. And not hysterically, but also hysterically, but historically bad. And of course, we're also saying that, you know, if this, but yeah, the Dodgers lost, what, 15 out of 16 games. So that's historically bad. So I don't know, whatever. The Dodgers are the better team. I'm buying them. Any team that's got Kershaw has a chance to do well. And then Rich Hill is very good. Alex Wood had a nice start earlier this week. So maybe he gets and then you got Darvish and Maeda and Kenley Jansen and another stream of bullpen guys that are locked down. It's a very strong team. My question would be Granderson, Utley, Chris Taylor. These guys feel like guys where their bats could just disappear.
Yeah.
Puig is another guy. Ethier, Adrian Gonzalez. These people very much have, I mean, baseball is always going to have, you know, streaks and whatever, but they feel like they're more susceptible to just like, oh, look, we lost 2-1. Like, I feel like if the Dodgers lose, it's going to be like that. He said, and then a week later, they lose 7-3. But whatever.
I think their toughest competition is going to come. The Dodgers' toughest competition is going to come in the first round against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Assuming the Diamondbacks win.
That's going to be a tough out.
Assuming. If they play the Diamondbacks, that would be the tough.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough out. So yeah. I think that if you're saying, well, what would you prefer? I'm assuming the Dodgers would rather play Rockies, Brewers, or Cardinals than the Diamondbacks.
Pitching better pitching matchups for the Diamondbacks against the Dodgers and the other teams.
Yeah, but so, the Diamondbacks do have to burn, and they are going to start what's his name, Greinke,
mm-hmm.
in the wild card game. So they are going to burn Greinke for the series. So,
They're going. So that they're basically saying that we got to make it past this first round. We're going to go with our best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Maybe they'll change it. Maybe I don't know, of the Rockies, Brewers, and Cardinals, I don't know who hits lefties worse, because they got Robbie Ray, and I don't know if you want Robbie Ray to be your number one guy in the playoffs, though. So maybe it's better to make him the number two guy. Anyway, but that's I'm definitely buying the Dodgers. I'm definitely buying the Nationals. The Cubs, who are about to win the division, they just need a win the rest of the way, right? The rest of the one more win the rest of the season, and they win. I am not.
They're up and down pitching.
Yeah, like it's weird how bad their pitching has become. Also, how bad their defense has become. And by bad, I mean they went from historic defensive run saves to fifth in the league. So that's still good, but like, how did they go so bad? Is it just a player here or there? Is it just Fowler? Is it just Schwarber being added, Fowler being taken away? I don't know.
They're definitely not the same team as they were last year.
Pitching looks bad. John Lester has looked like a bad pitcher.
Yeah, they are. They're the exact same team, almost, save for a player. But they're not anywhere near the same team.
So I'm not buying the Cubs. Good for them. They won the World Series first time in 170 million years. Great.
See, I see how you did that. You went way over.
Exactly, John. So then people knew I was being sarcastic.
Got it.
And they were able to. You know, we're talking now, but again, as I mentioned, when you do a joke that funny, they just keep laughing.
They're still laughing.
Sometimes you just have to do a pause, a beat, if you will.
Right.
and let the audience laugh it out. And they are right now still.
Right.
Though it's waning.
They could probably hear the sirens now. It's that quiet.
The sirens are in response to the sarcasm.
And the laughter.
And the laughter.
Help those people. They're laughing so hard.
Diamondbacks, I'm not buying.
No.
I just think this it's too tough a road. I don't think they can beat the Nationals and the Dodgers. I think it's too... Because we're talking about, like, will they make it to the World Series buying? That's what we're talking about buying here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think they can make it to the World Series. I think J.D. Martinez, great. He's killing the ball. But it's still not that good a defensive team. And the bullpen still has a lot of questions. And baseball these days has become bullpen games. Mm-hmm. And yes, Robbie Ray is very good. Zack Greinke is very good. Zack Greinke is going to get burned in the first game. So it's Robbie Ray and then Patrick Corbin and Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, that's not going to...
Hard to buy that.
Yeah, I just think their offense might be...
It could, absolutely.
It'll be interesting.
Absolutely. Here, I went up like two octaves there.
Yeah.
That means I don't believe it. And then Rockies, Brewer, Cardinals, I'm not buying any of those teams. I think whichever one of those teams gets in is the worst National League team, clearly. Yeah. And this is what they're fighting for, is to be able to be like like that Cardinals team from a few years back, or the Giants. Like, they're hoping to be that team that, you know, lightning in a bottle. But, you know, you can't buy lightning in a bottle, but you can rent it.
Has to happen. Right. Okay, so next week we'll probably be talking about playoffs and who's in and we'll be talking matchups.
That's right. Games like will have been played. A wild card will have been carded.
Won. Right.
It will have been tamed.
We'll know the answer to the Yankees, Twins, or D-backs, Rockies, Brewers, Cardinals.
Yes.
So we'll see next week.
Yeah. Also, if someone's listening to this, but just not sort of immediately, because it took 4 days to edit because of how ridiculous the technology and the things that I was saying were, like, they could be listening to this right now watching a playoff game, John. That's the miracle of podcasts.
And then people can listen to it afterwards and say, see, they were wrong. Or see, they were right. The beauty of...
It's like we're married to them, John.
Right. They know. They know every step we take, every move we make, and on and on. So that's
not
it.
Not too much there. We don't have to pay for the music.
Right.
Rights.
We don't want to do that. I didn't go.
We don't
too
have
far.
To clear that music.
So did you listen to the last week's episode by any chance?
I listened to part of it. That's how I heard the Robert Acuna mistake. Okay.
Did you hear? You had asked for flute music. Did you hear the flute music?
I did hear the flute music.
So the flute music was in the part where you asked me to add it, and they put it in there because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I was like, because like, oh, fantasy baseball. Oh, I say, chap. And then there should be a flute.
But I also put it at the end, so it plays out to flute music that episode.
Oh, that's a callback, John. Well done.
Go. Yeah, just thought I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
It's fun. So let's move on to extra innings, taking a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. Probably the biggest thing outside of baseball, other than kneeling or not kneeling, was Carmelo Anthony being traded from the Knicks to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes.
Was that pause there because it's not a big deal, or it's just like it's just
because
news,
I'm
so
not
news.
Sure if it's a big deal, John.
Carmelo Anthony is not a big deal to me. Look at everywhere that he has played; he's a selfish ball player. He doesn't make the people around him better. He's just not one of those guys. Just not. So I don't expect, him all by himself, although picking up George in addition so that they have their version of the big three.
Before Paul George goes to the Lakers,
right.
Which everyone knows is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, it's Michael Westbrook. It's Russell Westbrook. It's Robert Westbrook. It's Robert Scotchy Westbrook and Russell Westbrook. And I don't know if Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony is the team mate situation that I would say, yes, this will make a team
especially when Carmelo Anthony was saying that he wanted to be traded to the Rockets. That was his destination. And then he had to waive his trade clause in order to be dealt elsewhere. But, he's going from a horrible situation to a really good one. So from that point of view,
that's a playoff team.
Yeah. So from that point of view, it's good for Carmelo Anthony. But is Carmelo Anthony good for the Thunder?
I mean, here's the thing, right? Lightning in a bottle, right? The Thunder gave up almost nothing for him. Like, it's laughable what the Thunder gave up. So apparently teams like doing that with the Thunder because the Thunder likes doing that to other teams. Great. Bad trades. Remember, the Thunder gave away James Harden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we didn't think we could afford him next season. Like, okay, well then keep him this season.
And they already had their two superstars. That was before the three, you know, the big three was a thing. So,
well, also I think they thought Serge Ibaka, is that his
was
name?
The, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They thought he was the third. And you know what? He was the turd.
Defensively good.
Sure.
Yeah. And now he's with Ibaka. Is he with the Magic or Sixers?
Yeah, didn't he get traded to the Magic for pennies on the dollar?
Something like that.
So anyway, so close and yet so far.
So the other big news
is... That's what you get for stealing the Supersonics.
Right. Yeah. Screw you. So the other big news that kind of busted out yesterday was this NCAA basketball coaches kind of colluding to steal players. And, well, they didn't really collude. It was more a matter of sponsors giving them big bucks to push people towards the teams, the colleges that their shoe sponsorships were with.
Right. So basically, like, all the things that everyone knows
happens
all the
anyway,
time.
Right, has been blown wide open.
Someone but that, got busted for it.
Yeah, but that led to the breaking news, or old news, or, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, of today.
Broken news.
Yeah, the broken news is that Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino and I think the AD were fired today.
Yeah.
Because they were aware that this was going on, supposedly, allegedly.
I mean, they have to know, right? And it's like a weird balance of like, well, what are you supposed to do? Be the team that's not giving money to?
And it's like, they're probably like, you know, Pitino said he didn't know about the hookers and he doesn't know about this. It's like, come on. How much debauchery could you be having under one program?
I don't know. Ask Tiger Woods.
The money's flowing. The money is flowing.
I'm just saying. Look, I think it's ridiculous. NBA makes those guys make millions of dollars. They already put a clamp down on rookies, so the rookies have like these silly limited contracts. And then you have these players coming in the NCAA who are making money for schools. Let them get paid. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Everyone knows this bribes and
even if it was some sort of a cap stipend, you know, you're not going to want to start the recruiting game overpaying for players. So I don't get that, but I do believe that players who are, you know, bringing in boatloads of money, especially in football and basketball, they're making schools money hand over fist, and they don't see anything from it.
Yeah, and then you know maybe, but here's the thing: there's also like sponsorship money, but like. Maybe it gets put into a trust, right? Like maybe they get paid, it gets put into a
trust.
That would
be smart. Right.
And then when they either
blow all their mucky money on hookers and coke, then they'll have that little nest egg for them.
I just think that as long as it's regulated, people are going to try to get around the regulations.
Right. Yeah. And but
people want the best players at their school. That's what they want.
And it's what I find interesting about this, and I haven't read too deeply into the story to know the nuances, but this is, like you said, it's something that's been going on forever. And now, why now? Why now is it something that's coming to the forefront? It'll be interesting to see.
It's Trump's America, man.
Yeah, because as they peel back the layers of this onion, it's going to go pretty deep across multiple sports.
People didn't die for the right to give... All right, maybe they did actually. No, they didn't.
No, probably not.
No, because that's technically it's.
And they surely didn't die for our final story either.
I will say, to me, the most interesting thing about this is, okay, so Pitino gets fired. That's fine. So he'll spend a couple of years away from the game, and then he'll go to a smaller college and build it up to a blah 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 blah. He'll do all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting to me is I never thought about the sponsors.
Getting involved
in them. I've always thought of boosters. Just like it's boosters, right? Yeah. Exactly, right? But it's, wow, how smart, because the sponsor sponsors the school, and it's so if it's an Adidas school or a Nike school,
push players,
then they
way.
Have
an
incentive
them.
To have better players on those better teams. Wow, that's a lot of money, man. Feels like that should be able to be given out to players.
Yeah,
because then
way.
You get into a situation where it's like, well, you know, what about this other school that doesn't make, like, well, too bad. Like, that's life. This is America. This isn't socialism.
Yeah,
this
isn't response each according to his needs. Get a better program.
Exactly.
And then you have then you'll get that money.
That's yeah, just research kinda, better. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. They're hanging in there.
Yeah.
They don't have all the money. That's a baseball thing. I'm trying to tie this all together for
So tie baseball into Kylie Jenner and Khloe Kardashian.
Okay, first of all, this is the biggest news. Kylie Jenner announces she's pregnant. Days later, Khloe Kardashian announces she's pregnant.
Wow.
Look, I'm going to explain this to you the best way that it can possibly be explained, this whole Kardashian thing. And then Kim's apparently got a child through a surrogate coming. And this is my wife's joke, who's a very funny lady. I'm going to steal this joke or steal this idea is what's happening with the Kardashians can be best described as the scene in Gremlins when Spike throws himself into the pool to multiply.
That's good.
The country is going to be run amok with Kardashian and Kardashian-related progeny. And I'm telling you, that's the seventh sign.
Yeah, the empire.
The four horsemen are upon us. The seal has been broken, John.
How old is Kylie Jenner? She's pretty young, isn't
20.
She? 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, look, I have no problem with a young woman having a child at that age. My sister had one. I think she was like 19. Hey, it's totally fine. But this is someone who is described as a reality TV star and business mogul.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think the first one is probably true.
Right. Neither of those. First of all, a reality TV star should probably be banned from having children. Now, if ever The Handmaid's Tale was needed, it's for reality TV stars. Second of all, I'm sorry, business mogul?
Yeah, that seems a little... That's a 20-year-old business mogul?
People are throwing around words these days like they don't mean anything. I hope that whoever wrote that knows the harm he's doing to society by associating her with that concept. Anyway, we're out of time, John.
Best of luck to the Kardashian Jenner clan.
And hopefully there'll be less kneeling this week, John. Or more kneeling, depending on what you like. But hopefully you won't be involved with a person who's kneeling in front of you with your hand on their shoulder. So frankly, I think we're all a little weirded out by that still, John.
Good night.